politics, pop culture, and a whole bunch of other things that start with the letter P.
The Mark Harvard Podcast.
Who knew that optimism could sound so sarcastic?
Hey, 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 welcome in. It is the Mark Harvard Podcast, episode 61. Happy to have you here this, you know, whatever time of day. It's afternoon for me. Hope you're having a great one. If you're a father, hope you had a great Father's Day. Mine was great. I had a great weekend. Now, Father's Day was, I was kind of all over the place with it. We went to go see my dad to spend, you know, the morning at work. And so, Saturday was just the best. We went swimming as a family, me and my wife and our little boy Jack. And then we went out hiking, did a little day hiking that afternoon. That kid was absolutely just devastatedly tired at the end of the day. We managed to wear him out. It was pretty great. But yeah, it was great just to have that time as a family in one big old bunch. Such a good day. I hope you all you fathers had a great weekend. Big week for me, and I'll talk about that later on in the show. But yeah, it's a big week. Like, I'm nervous. I'm only working in the office 2 days a week because I'm heading out on Wednesday to go do something super cool that I'll tell you about in just a little bit. Speaking of super cool, my wife sent me this story earlier in the week. She said, "This is for the podcast. That you have to do this story for the podcast." Now, I've been very open about how I've been trying to get back in shape, and I think I've done okay. I was actually surprised. We took a week, a nutritional break a week ago, just because it was VBS week at my kids, with the church, and I was all over the place, and then I was out of town, and da 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 da. So we took a nutritional break for a week. So I weighed myself this morning, and I seem to have only gained 3 pounds over the last couple of weeks. So back right on the program, hitting the gym this afternoon, and one of the things that I've witnessed at the gym is they've started opening up some of the basketball courts to pickleball, which if you don't know what pickleball is, it's like it's like tennis, like a cross between tennis and badminton, but it's played like diagonally, it's played across a basketball court, not the long side, but like the width side. And it's low impact. It takes a lot of running out of what would be tennis. So this woman named Meg Burkhart arrived at the North Park pickleball courts. Not tickleball. That's different. This past Saturday. And she noticed that a few strapping young men were on the court where she and her friends usually play. Two of them were playing one-on-one, and she saw that a third was just sitting down watching. So she did what came natural. She said, "I could tell they were beginners. Don't tell them I said that," she said. "But I thought, okay, this is great. Probably the guy on the bench doesn't have a paddle, and that's why he's not playing. So I grabbed my extra paddle, rolled on up, plopped down next to him, and said, 'Hey, you want to take these guys on?'" She said it wasn't until about 4 or 5 competitive games were up that she realized she'd stumbled into her 15 minutes of fame. As they were finishing up, she realized that the other pickleballers had stopped playing and started watching, and she didn't know why. But she figured out when people started asking for photos. Now, Burkhart is a 64-year-old attorney from Lawrenceville who has 5 kids and 1 grandkid, was the fourth wheel of a weekend outing with Steelers defenders T.J. Watt, Minka Fitzpatrick, and Alex Highsmith. That's the reigning defensive player of the year in the NFL, a 2-time All-Pro safety, and a starting outside linebacker. They said Watt said she taught us some lessons, and she has a wicked serve with a lot of spin on it, so it made for a fun afternoon. Things like that don't ever happen for me. I don't ever just stumble onto famous people and teach them lessons for things that they could use later. Needless to say, wild few days for this woman who said Oakmont Bakery wants to make cookies with her and Fitzpatrick on one, Watt and Highsmith on the other, and she prefers playing sports to watching, so she's not exactly a diehard Steelers fan. That's why she didn't recognize them, though she could tell they were athletic. You know, you look at these guys, you roll up on them, they're huge, they're all muscle. And yeah, obviously, she said they might be Marines or something along those lines. But when she texted a photo of her and her new pals to her family group chat, her daughter Natalie posted it to Twitter for everyone to see. And Watt's oldest brother, JJ, blasted it out and retweeted it to his followers. And eventually TJ did it as well. Burkhart was just hanging out at the Three Rivers Art Festival over the weekend, not looking at her phone. And then her daughter asked if she saw that the story had gone viral. And of course, she's overwhelmed. She says it's very exciting. It's one of those surreal things that you get in your car to leave and you're like, I cannot believe that just happened. Watt had recently picked up the sport at his bachelor party weekend, which obviously was off the hook, because, pickleball at a bachelor party. Come on. And so when Fitzpatrick asked him what he'd be doing last weekend after the Steelers finished up mini camp, Watt told him they should go get some paddles and play. And so, yeah, they said they rotated pairings frequently. They discovered the best matchup was Burkhart and Fitzpatrick against the other two pass rushers, Watt and Highsmith. Watt wanted it to be known that he and Highsmith won the second-to-last match before they determined that the finale would be for all the marbles. And all Burkhart's text to her family was, "Last game, the guy in the green shirt and I whooped the other two." Her friends have already joked that they need to make her a number 39 Steelers jersey, which I think she's earned. We're going to see her like on the sideline somewhere. It's going to be great. This is a great story that everyone has always wanted to be able to do, but they just never have. When have you come face to face with celebrities? Now, through radio and everything, I've actually gotten some time to be around celebrities and all that. And I've gotten some were more intimidating than others. I mean, I've had some really great interviews. I've had some ones that were kind of meh because they weren't talkative. I've had others that really, it was obvious they did not want to be doing this interview. And that was heartbreaking at times. But you always love it when someone that you know or someone famous that you meet turns out to be just as awesome as you think they're going to be. Yeah, it's fantastic. Mike from Big Daddy Weave was like that. Super cool guy. So impressed by him. And he actually made me more of a fan when I met him and got to hang out with him a little bit. Incredibly nice guy. But you always love it when celebrities are as good as you want them to be. Because, it makes you feel more like you have a connection with them. It wasn't awkward or that. And she has this friendship that, might keep going. I don't know. They seem like they all had fun doing this. So maybe this will be an ongoing thing. Can you imagine? Burkhart has this group chat going with three NFL players. It's pretty funny. Changing topics here a little bit. Have you heard about this? I don't know how you are with the Amazon stuff. We order from Amazon all the time, and boxes come to our house at all times. 90% of it is from my mother-in-law because she gets more mail than anyone possible. My mother-in-law lives in an apartment downstairs in our house, and she gets way more mail than anyone ever should. So much mail. But she gets a lot of packages and that sort of thing. So I'm sure I would get called to fix it if this happened to her. An Amazon customer bought something on Amazon. It was delivered. She opened the box. She got the item out, and she found a vial of blood in a chair she bought. Yeah. She shared a video of the vial, and she reported to Amazon, and Amazon offered her a refund and a $100 gift card because bloody office chair. She tweeted out about this thing. Jen Bagakis said, "If I told you the leather chair I ordered from Amazon was packaged with a blood collection tube that is full, would you believe me? Because I'm lost for words." She said, "I'm as terrified as I am confused." She shared an email she received from Amazon apologizing for the delivery and offering a refund for the chair and a $100 gift card as well. In the email, Amazon said, "First and foremost, I'm truly sorry for your experience. I certainly understand the concern of receiving bodily fluids in your package. I've made sure the seller has been reported and all appropriate actions have been taken to prevent this from happening again in the future." She's a doctoral student at Cornell, and she told Business Insider that the tone of the response was almost laughable in his attempt at normalcy. Because they were trying to be all business-like instead of going, "Oh my God, that's awful." She remained unsure about how to dispose of the vial. Tossing it in the trash seemed like it was wrong, and you know, hanging on to it is just gross. So she added a $100 gift card is pretty paltry an apology, if you ask me. Say with inflation, that's $75. I'm sorry we shipped you a biohazard. So, yeah, it came from a third-party client. It was not, you know, coming from like an Amazon, you know, warehouse or anything like that. It was from a third-party thing. And so that's why they, you know, they were able to just kind of chop out that reseller and say, okay, you know what? We're not going to deal with this person anymore. Obviously, they've got issues to work out. So, yeah. Yeah, I would get a call. Like my mother-in-law would say, Mark, I need you to come, because she does it every once in a while if she finds like a bug or something downstairs. I need you to come fix this. I need you to come catch this. That would be, I need you to come get rid of this because this does not need to be in my presence. That's what would happen. Hey, coming up, we've got a new motivation for the Great Resignation. Yeah, I rhymed, and I realized halfway through that sentence I was going to. But I went ahead with it anyway. When we get back, it's a new thing that's pushing the Great Resignation to continue on, and it's not something you would think. That's coming up after the break. Also, tanning is out now. Beauty influencers have said this, and I want to know how you become a beauty influencer. That's coming up in just a few. Stick around. It's the Mark Harvard Podcast.
The Mark Harvard Podcast.
I can't tell you how thrilled we are to continue our relationship with Excalibur Service Company. They are the people that I use in my house, and they're who I suggest you use in your house for all your home needs. Air conditioning, heating, duct cleaning, indoor air quality checks. These are the guys that can take care of it. They also offer emergency plumbing service because, you know, plumbing doesn't break in the middle of a Saturday afternoon. No, it always happens in the middle of the night or when you least need it to be breaking. They're the folks you call. Like I said, they're who I trust my families to, and they're who you should trust as well. It's Excalibur Services. Give them a call, 205-352-4160. It's 205-352-4160, or you can find them online, excaliburservice.com. And tell them you heard about them right here on the Mark Harvard Podcast.
Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and online at markharvardcreative.com. The Mark Harvard Podcast.
And we are back. It is the Mark Harvard Podcast. Thanks for listening in. And don't forget to support the sponsors, support the people that support us here on the podcast. Excalibur Service Company, they are who you call for your HVAC, your plumbing, for your emergency electrical. Give them a call. Let them know you heard about them right here on the podcast. 205-718-8688. 205-718-8688. And let them know, like I said, that you heard about them right here on the Mark Harvard Podcast. So a lot of people need that HVAC system at their home working because they're working from home. And if they can, if their business, I don't know, maybe you work at Twitter, maybe you're being told that you've got to go back to work, people are resigning. They're saying, yeah, pass, I'm out. A record 48 million U.S. workers quit their jobs last year. That's according to the Labor Department. Business leaders may be overlooking kind of a silent factor driving a lot of these workers to quit, and I can absolutely agree with this one, boredom. The last job I left because it had become a toxic atmosphere, become a toxic workplace. I didn't believe in the company anymore, and I was bored. I mean, I was going in. There was nothing for me to feel like I was doing that was of value to anybody. So I went in every day and just piddled all day long, the whole time looking for a new job. And eventually I found one, and, you know, God worked and, you know, put me exactly where I need to be. And that's led to a lot of other cool stuff. But boredom, a lot of people. And Automation Anywhere exec says automating the mundane lets workers focus on more meaningful tasks. Now, computers have famously challenged humans in, you know, doing math problems and, you know, retrieving trivia, whatever. But there's another sleeper category in which robots do it better, not getting bored. A Microsoft survey of more than 30,000 global workers earlier this year found that 4 in 10 were likely to consider changing jobs in 2020, and workers in the U.S. are still giving notice even as more questions bubble up about the direction that the economy is going to take. The so-called Big Quit, as they're calling it, killer name, by the way, comes even after employers have shoveled resources toward employee mental health. You know, pizza parties or, you know, casual work Fridays, that sort of thing. That does not help companies. More money, yeah. You got to make up for them not being in their house shoes. You have to pay extra for me to wear pants. If I'm going to a corporate job, I love what I do for a living. It's what I'm called to do. But if I was going to a corporate job and you've called me back in after working at home for a couple of years, you got to pay for me to put pants back on. Because I've gotten really used to wearing basketball shorts all day long. I'm just saying. And once again, this is from Nancy Haig, the Chief People Experience Officer, great title, at Automation Anywhere, which develops cloud automation services. She says that automation is the key because computers don't get bored. So what you do is you get all these mundane tasks and you let the computers do those and you let the people that are working do the creative, do the problem solving, and do all that stuff, all the stuff that you can't automate. That way, the workers are doing more demanding, more challenging work, and they're not getting bored. I get it. I think it might be something that you can look at. It's a factor that I didn't really consider, but I absolutely agree. The most depressed I've ever been in a workplace, the most, I guess, down in the dumps, the most useless I've ever felt is at a time when most of my job was mindless stuff. You know? Fill in the blank with this number, type this in, you know, I mean, you didn't have to think anything. And at first it was cathartic because, you know, you get to, you know, let your mind wander and, you know, kind of, you know, work on yourself. But after a while, I've got to feel like there's some value in me getting up and going to work. And if I'm just doing the same repetitive thing over and over and over, I'm not getting that. So I absolutely get it. I totally understand that that boredom can absolutely factor into this. Hey, have you heard about this? Apparently, gone are the days of burning to a crisp with tanning oil and those aluminum reflectors. Today's social media influencers are saying that sunscreen is a vital step into their skincare and that tanning is not the top fashion anymore. Yeah, I know. Dr. Mamaya Chirigo, who's a dermatologist and a social media influencer, more than 900,000 TikTok followers this person has, spent her medical career begging people to wear sunscreen, and now she says that a lot of her younger patients are already applying SPF regularly before they walk out the door. Huge contrast. Who would try to go out and, the older generations would go out and try to get as tan as possible. Now, I mean, you want a little color, but that's kind of it, she said. She, you know, it's not considered glamorous or sexy anymore. People are now really pushing sunscreen. And I think it's because we've gotten more and more proof. People have started seeing the end of that road now. Maybe people are learning from their parents or grandparents with melanomas and skin cancer and that sort of thing, that you look at it now, you look at someone who's so like super dark tan, and not like as part of their ethnicity, but like, you know, someone who's obviously spent a lot of time out in the sun trying to get tan, you look at it and you go, oh, skin cancer, that's what's going to happen. Yeah. And, you know, there's all kind of, influencer approved sunscreens, not to be confused with, you know, the whole white copper tone thing. There's a sunscreen mist that's hydrating and powder sunscreen for your scalp, which actually I could use. I get sunscreen sometimes. I get sunburn sometimes in my little part, in my hair sometimes. Didn't even know they made that. Tinted SPF moisturizer and all kinds of stuff, all tested and tried by some of the biggest names on TikTok, which is almost as good as a doctor, right? So yeah, apparently suntan that's not the big big luxury, ultra trendy thing anymore. So sorry, 70s, 20 somethings. It's not the thing. Hey, coming up, Burger King has more fake food out there, so we can talk about that. Also, a guy took an 8-hour hands-free road trip in a Cadillac Escalade, and we're going to get his review. It's one of those hands-free driving systems. He took an 8-hour trip, and he's going to tell us about it. So that's coming up in just a few. Stick around, It's the Mark Harvard Podcast.
The Mark Harvard Podcast.
You know, life is not always easy to navigate, and that's where our friends at All Things New Counseling Services, that's where they step in. They're going to help you get through some tough times. This time of year, people are looking at themselves. They're starting to think about all the things that they want to have a little different, and sometimes that goes hand in hand with some depression, some anxiety, some stress. The gang over at All Things New Counseling Services can help you out with that. Sharman and her team have an area of expertise that includes bipolar disorder, depression, eating disorders, substance abuse, PTSD, and trauma. And guess what? They also do telehealth. So no matter where you are, you've got someone who's there to listen and help you through some of those low times in life. Go ahead, check them out online, allthingsnewcounselingservices.com, and tell them that you heard about them right here on the Mark Harvard Podcast.
Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and online at markharvardcreative.com. The Mark Harvard Podcast.
And we are back. It is the Mark Harvard Podcast. Don't forget, support our sponsors, Birmingham Christian Family Magazine. Go by birminghamchristian.com and check them out. You can get all their episodes, all their issues, rather, online. And they are a great source for family events, things coming up in the community. If you are in the Birmingham area, this is your source, your summer source for things to do with your kids since they are out for the summer. Go check it out. Birmingham Christian Family Magazine. You can also find them on social media, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. And let them know you heard about them right here on the Mark Harvard Podcast. So there's this guy named Tim Levin. That's what his name is. And he had a pass. He's a reporter for Business Insider. And he said he got to test out a Super Cruise, which is a hands-free driving system in a Cadillac Escalade. I don't know why I'm having a hard time with that. And he did an 8-hour drive. And he posted a review, and I thought it was interesting because I'm still at the point where I don't know that I could ever trust this sort of thing. And it's not because I like driving all that much. I actually get bored by driving very frequently. I drive a little on the fast side because I want to get there and stop driving sooner. So he says there's not much that this Escalade lacks when it comes to comfort. It's a luxury SUV, the size of a New York studio apartment, plenty of room for you and up to 7 friends to stretch out. He said it's ridiculously big, that it needs an intercom for the driver to communicate with the third row. Yeah, really. He said the interior is overflowing with leather and screens, and it's smooth on the pavement so as not to jostle its well-heeled occupants. So the only thing that could possibly make this thing more pleasant would be if one didn't have to drive it at all, and that is where the Escalade can do that, sort of. He said, although no car you buy today is actually completely self-driving, some car makers offer partially automated systems that can take over certain tasks. They can use their sensors in parallel park, or they can keep a car in a lane on the highway. And it's all under full human supervision. Tesla's autopilot is one of these things. There's a Super Cruise that the Escalade uses, and it's the same sort of technology. And he says it's good, so good it may have spoiled him for boring regular driving forever. He said it invites drivers to take their hands off of the steering wheel on approved highways and let the car do most of the work. It functions like a super smart version of cruise control, using all these cameras and sensors to slow down and speed up with traffic, smoothly navigating curves, and even automatically changing lanes to pass slow boat drivers, which is kind of cool. The vehicle ensures drivers pay attention with cameras that monitor their gaze and their head positioning. Fall asleep, get distracted for too long, and the system will issue a series of warnings and then shut off. See, that's where I find, if I have to pay attention, if I've got to continue to watch the road and all that, I might as well have my hands on the steering wheel. You know? I mean, you're not saving me any time or effort if I'm still having to watch someone else drive. I mean, that's like watching golf. I'm going to fall asleep. That's the reason this would not work for me. When I first got behind the wheel, he said, I figured Super Cruise would work fine, but that I'd have to regularly step in and stop it from doing something dumb. He said it blew away his expectations. During an 8-hour, 500-mile journey to a friend's house and back, he said, I had my hands on the wheel for about an hour and a half. That was mainly on surface streets near my start and end points, where Super Cruise won't turn on. But for hours at a time, the Escalade cruised down the interstate while he supervised, leaving him much less fatigued than I'd normally be after such a long, monotonous drive. He said, what's great about this thing is it's simple to switch on and off. It's easy to tell when it's active. After turning on cruise control, all you do is press the Super Cruise button on the steering wheel. The car is on a highway. GM is mapped out. An LED strip on the steering wheel lights up in green to indicate Super Cruise is working. And then, yeah, he said it was almost flawless. So whenever it counted a slow car, it paused to look for an opening before swiftly passing. If an erratic driver suddenly cut the Escalade off, the Super Cruise slowed down to accommodate them. So, yeah, GM may actually have something to do with this. That's interesting. I still don't trust it. And also, if I've got to sit there and pay attention, I might as well have my hands on the steering wheel. Because that's just going to make me... It takes me out of the equation. Now I'm just watching someone else drive, which is going to put me to sleep even faster. So, not a fan. I'm not intrigued. It's not something I think I'm going to want on my car. Of course, granted, I'm driving a 2011 Pathfinder. So, I'm having to actually go tomorrow to get new tires and a new windshield. And that will fix some of the immediate issues with how old my car is. So, speaking of issues, Burger King. Now, Burger King has... I used to be a big fan of Burger King. I really did. I like the flame-broiled burger taste, that sort of thing. Burger to burger, if I have two are put in front of me, I would rather have a Burger King regular cheeseburger than a McDonald's regular cheeseburger. But they've gotten weird, and it's because they've been losing profit share, losing market share, and I get it. If you're in that situation, you have to mix things up a little bit. So, they did the Impossible Burger, which, no thanks. Burger King restaurants in Japan are now selling an almost potato meal. Yeah, it's what you think. Swapping out French fries for crunchy ramen noodles amid a potato shortage. So these things are in Japan, once again, and they're running low on potatoes, so they're asking customers to swap out their sides of fries. And staff are offering patrons ramen instead of French fries amid the shortage. They're calling the meal, which includes a burger with a side of crunchy ramen noodles, the Almost Potato Set. So... some customers, they say, are not thrilled about the switch. If Burger King had only crunchy ramen, maybe I'd just go to McDonald's, one person told CBS. Before deciding on crunchy ramen, they considered boiled ramen, broiled squid, and apple pie as substitutes for fries. Yeah, that's better. Other fast food companies have also dealt with their own shortages in recent months. Most recently, Taco Bell said it was experiencing a shortage of ingredients for its Mexican pizza after bringing that thing back. I was not a fan of it originally, and so I haven't gotten caught up in the hype for the Mexican pizza. But apparently other people are just all about this thing. So, yeah, apparently that's a thing. Hey, don't forget our sponsors here on the Mark Harvard Podcast, All Things New Counseling Services. They are actually transitioning to a new model. You can go find out all about it at allthingsnewcounselingservices.com. They are going to be completely online. That means wherever you are in the state of Alabama, if you need someone to talk to, if you're in a valley in your life, there's no shame in this. They want to help you get through this time, and they are a Christian counseling agency that is awesome. I've known Charmin and the rest of the gang at All Things New for quite some time. They are quality people, and go by. Do some research and, just get some information from them. AllThingsNewCounselingServices.com. It's AllThingsNewCounselingServices.com. That does it for me. I will see you guys later and have a fantastic week. Big week for me. I'm actually this week going to be, as of Wednesday night, I will be a licensed local pastor in the United Methodist Church. Yeah, I'll be Pastor Mark starting Wednesday night. Crazy. I have no idea how to deal with this. But yeah, you guys have a great week. I'll tell you all about the ceremony next week on the podcast. And I'm out.
The Mark Harvard Podcast.